So, hello. Today is the 16th of June, 2015, and my name is Gabriela Paleta, and I am the Portuguese expert for Parents Tool Shop. And we will be talking about today about toddler separation anxiety, including the pacifier use. It happens to many parents, and maybe it happened to you already. You try to leave your toddler with a nanny or a sitter or the kindergarten caregiver or even your own parents, and you immediately get the crumpled face, the arms velcro locked around your knees, and the wail that rips through your heart. What's going on? You say, what is wrong? Mommy will be back soon. Don't cry. But the crying goes even higher and you feel torn, not sure you understand your child's needs, and not sure how can you help overpass this moment in the best way. So this most probably is the separation anxiety. And we will be talking about today what is, in fact, separation anxiety, what your child may be feeling in this moment, and what you may be feeling in this moment, because your feelings are also important. And what can you do to ease the separation whenever you need to really be separated from your child? And how to ease out of the pacifier use? So what is separation anxiety? It is normal. It is a normal response from a toddler that perceives the separation from his own mother or father, if the father is the one that is mostly taking care of the child, as a life-threatening one, and is fighting with all his strengths not to let that happen. Of course, your toddler will learn over time that you do return after you leave, but is not yet capable of understanding this fully or is not emotionally ready for this step. So some children go through this phase around the toddler years. Others may go through it a bit later. Some may never experience it, while others seem to be affected until later on by certain triggers that activate their anxiety feelings. Like, for example, a new childcare situation, a new sibling, moving to a new place, or even tension at home. Although it can be difficult, separation anxiety is a normal stage of development in your child. By being aware of it and using effective coping strategies that are both respectful for you and your child, it can be eased and relieved, and it will eventually fade away over time. So what your child may be feeling in this moment? Many times separation anxiety develops from sudden, overwhelming feelings that young children may not be yet prepared mentally or emotionally to deal with. Most common are these feelings of fear, conscious or it may be even unconscious. The child may be suddenly fearful of something that is going to happen, or something unknown, of a change or of being alone, of insecurity, needs not met, or even harm or the big bad wolf, if you want. There may be many fears that your child has, potentially real ones, or they may be imaginary. Fear is normal and common in children. We as adults have learned that many of these situations are not in fact threatening, as we are able to take care of ourselves in this aspect. But your child knows instinctively that he's still depending on you for satisfying many of his basic needs, and therefore these feelings may be overwhelming if he is not capable yet to deal with them, especially in the toddler years. If your child is a bit older, may also feel worried, for example, that something may happen in your absence, something bad, something that is threatening, unpleasant. It may be, for example, something he's being worried that something may happen to you, like an accident or who knows what he can imagine. As a consequence, he or she may refuse to go to school, for example, or not want to sleep, or complain about physical illnesses like headaches or stomach aches or any other kind of boo-boo that they have, or even literally cling to the parent if they can see that nothing else works. And in this time, what you may be feeling During this stage, you might experience different emotions and feelings as well. It can be gratifying for you on one side to feel and see that your child needs you and is after all attached to you and cares about you, to care so much about you to the point that he doesn't want you to leave. But on the other side, you are also likely to start feeling guilty. Sorry, to start feeling guilty about taking time for yourself, leaving your child with someone else, or going to work. And this, if this continues for a long period of time, you may start to feel overwhelmed by the amount of attention your child seems to need from you, and even worried if it starts to become very frequent or has starting to have a worrying pattern. Keep in mind that your little one's unwillingness to leave you is actually a good sign that a healthy and emotional bond has developed between the two of you. Eventually, your child will be able to remember that you always return after you leave and that he will have his needs covered while you're gone. So this also gives your child a chance to develop coping skills and a little independence, which you definitely want him to have at a later stage. Be patient in this phase. Talk to your child about your feelings too. Explain that you will miss him as well, and explain that it's normal for him to have fears, and that you also will be worried about him, and but you will know that he will be safe, and so you will be more calm during your absence, because you will know that he will be safe with the person that he is going to stay. Keep your sense of humor as well through this phase. It is important to look and sort of make things less important in this case, even if it is an important thing. Just take them easily and take them with a laugh. It always helps to relax a little bit in these situations. And keep calm and breathe deeply if you really feel challenged. What can you do? Basically, to ease the separation, one of the first things that you can do is practice the separation with the child. Start talking with the child ahead of time about what is going to happen. Young children may have limited vocabulary, but they do understand your words and feelings and tone of voice, even if they do not yet know how to express themselves in the same way. It is important to prepare them ahead of time about this important step, especially if it will be a major change in their routines or known people or surroundings. So talk to them about this change ahead of time. That will give them reassurance and security, and will help them be more relaxed and less anxious. Because most of the times the anxiety itself, it comes from the thinking of that something is going to happen in the future. So if we sort of deconstruct the events that are going to happen in the future with the child, we will help him see that it's actually nothing to be fearful of. And if things are going to go smoothly and according to what you have talked about, he will be more relaxed, and he will be more confident that things will go better next time, and he will be able to handle it better as well. So explain what will happen step by step if you can, not just until the separation phase, but also after. What they will do in your absence, that is important for you to talk to him about. Great things that they are going to do, how they are going to play, how they are going to eat, or how they are going to sleep. And try with the child even to find ways, let's say, or toys, or other solutions for him to cope with eventual sudden feelings of missing the mother or the parent. So you together with him, you can find ways to overcome a sudden necessity that he might have. And you can even talk to him about what he can do if he feels that he needs a hug, or that he needs a glass of water, or that he needs a piece of fruit, or something that that he needs, whatever he needs, or he needs to go to the bathroom, or whatever he needs from his daily life, from the normal routine. You can just talk to him about these things and discuss with him what he can do in your absence, to whom he can go and ask for these things, because children worry most of the times about little things that their life is normally including during the daily existence. So if we talk with them about them, about these little things, they will be more relaxed about it, and they will be less anxious. And so talk to him step by step what is going to happen, as I was saying, not until just the separation itself, but also after, in your absence, and also include the moment of your return. So what is going to happen when you will be together again? What will you do together? What time you are coming back? You're going to give him a big hug, for example, and so on. So this this part is important. Other things that you can do is schedule separations, for example, after naps or feedings, especially if the child is a bit younger. Whenever possible, go away when baby's immediate needs are satisfied, because they are more prone to a big tantrum and scary feelings when they feel grumpy, tired, or even hungry. Also, you can develop a goodbye ritual, for example. That are rituals are reassuring and secure, and they can be something very simple, like a special hug, or a special wave, or even a goodbye kiss. Keep familiar surroundings whenever possible, or turn new ones into familiar, because, for example, have a sitter come to your house, or spend some time in the kindergarten, getting to know the place with the child together. The children, the teachers, the toys. Let your child bring a familiar object to help him feel secure, for example, when you are not there. And teach him how he can manage himself around, where he can go, where he cannot go, like things that are not indicated, for example, like some stairs or going out by himself or something like that. So help him know the new surroundings and make them familiar. Be there with him so you can show him that it's safe and that it's secure for him to be there. Other things you can do, it's live without making a big event out of it. For example, if you are at the kindergarten or the sitter's house, or even in your own house, tell your child you will return, and remind him of what you have talked about it before, how you have talked about this moment, and assure him you love him a lot, and you will be back on a certain time that you have discussed before. Try avoiding sneaking out without him knowing, because then he will be a lot more scared that you just disappear. Then if he knows that you are actually, and he sees you, that you are actually going out. And this may, if you sneak out, it may even send him a wrong message, actually, that you're kind of running from him. When you're ready, just say you will go, and go. It's simple. He may cry, maybe, but it will be just for a while, and then he will be all right. In order to prepare for it, you might also want to read your child a book, for example, or watch a simple cartoon or a video that emphasizes similar situations. A child-parent separation, acknowledging the feelings that both child and parent may have, and help deal with them. Explain that feeling like this is natural when you love the person, the other person, and remind him of your love and of your return commitment and the strength of your bond. This, when the child sees others in the same situation or passing through the same situation as he, they feel empathic about it, and they feel more reassured that that things are going to go well. Encourage also and recognize your child's effort by giving him positive reinforcement during the separation, and also when you return, tell him that that he behaves well, that he managed to to wait patiently, for example, to manage his behavior. So this helps him know that you noticed and that his efforts were good and was the solution for your absence, and that you were happy with him, basically. So until here, we have talked about the separation anxiety in general. Now let's focus on a particular one, which is the pacifier. So how to ease out of the pacifier use? There is another. This is another separation anxiety that your child may have. Maybe may have a hard time to deal with, and that in regards to the pacifier that that he has, if he actually uses one. And for example, let's take this particular story that there was this mother called Rhonda that took her son to the dentist for his annual checkup. And the dentist discovered that her son was developing an overbite and asked Rhonda if he was still using a pacifier. And Rhonda replied, well, yes, he uses, but not all the time. And the dentist then suggested that her son should stop using the pacifier altogether in order to prevent the overbite from getting worse. So Rhonda knew her son. He was called Adam. He was getting too big for the pacifier, actually, she was thinking, but she was a bit reluctant to take it out because she has tried before, and all the time there was a big blow up from Adam that he threw away quite a tantrum whenever she tried to take his pacifier. So she started to look for ways to get Adam to give up the pacifier with becoming a big traumatic event for him or even for both of them. So why do you think that the children actually resist giving up their pacifiers? As part of their emotional development, young children tend to attach to security objects, let's call them like this. A pacifier, a blanket, a stuffed animal, or even a bottle or any other toy. These objects go with them everywhere and have the role to protect and comfort the child in all circumstances. At least this is the perceived value they have for the child. Whenever they feel in an emotionally difficult situation, they immediately go for their saki or for their blankie or for their teddy. Sooner or later, however, children will need to transition to the next stage of childhood, where they have the skills necessary to willingly let go of these dependencies. However, until then, as a parent, you may just respect their need for this comfort and security or security object and allow them to have them when they need it, without depriving them, though, of your love or attention and encouragement in the difficult moments. How can you help your child? What can you do? How can you help your child transition out of the pacifier use without provoking toddler separation anxiety? Well, my three children all use a pacifier, and they let it go around 3 years old, more or less. I particularly remember the case of my oldest one that threw it to the garbage bin because it was starting to become quite worn and sort of dirty. So he was at the stage where he was learning about personal hygiene, especially teeth brushing, and he was a bit more sensitive to the subject. So we talked about the pacifier just as any other object that gets worn and that with the time. And sometimes is left on the floor or in other places where he plays and it might get dirty. Then he will put it in his mouth so it will put, let's say, microbes in his mouth or something like that. So we kind of picked up on this subject and worked with it so he can understand that was not a good thing for him anymore. At some point, he decided it was better to actually throw it away, as it was not useful to him anymore. He was not really needing it anymore. It was more of a play and comfort in certain moments. So he did. He just, we opened the bin and he just threw it away. And he decided, we asked him a lot if he's sure on what he's doing. So he decided to throw it away. No drama. It was his decision. And of course, later on, he asked about it a couple of times. But we simply reminded him that we talked about it and that we asked. And yes, it went away with the garbage. So there is not there anymore, basically. So he simply substituted the pacifier for one of his stuffed animals when he was in a more needy moment, and that was it basically. So it was kind of easy in this sense, but it depends from child to child how things may go. So some practical suggestions of how you can ease out of the pacifier use of your child. Again, it's something that you can, one of the most important things is to talk to your child about it. Explain the importance of their teeth and the dentist advice. Get down to the child's level and put yourself in his shoes. What would you feel if you would have your security object taken away, for example? What would it feel like? What would you want as a replacement? Confirm you understand his feelings, and these feelings are normal. Also talk about how can this situation be resolved if he can feel safe without it, so he can feel safe without the pacifier. Maybe get external help from a story or cartoon, or from your personal or sibling story. Children love stories in general. So if you have any story in your family that has happened with another child that had a pacifier and how he threw it away, or whatever that they did, you can, in this sense, of course, that can help. You can just tell your child a story and tell it over and over again if he needs it, if he wants to listen to it, especially. So children learn many things from stories. You can use them to your advantage and as a way to exemplify things that will happen or that need to happen. Also, figure out which situations actually trigger your toddler to want a pacifier. Then offer to teach your child other comforting techniques to use during these situations. For example, if your child wants a bottle or a pacifier at bedtime, but this can cause dental problems, for example, you can change that for a favorite blanket or a stuffed animal, something that they can just hold and not necessarily put in their mouth. Reassure your child that you are there whenever he needs. Offer him hugs and an empathetic ear, so they will they learn how to get human reassurance instead of always looking to objects for security. Acknowledge your child's feelings, putting a name to their emotions. That is also important. Explain them that the feelings that they have a name. They are normal feelings that people may have at some point in their lives. And you teach them to use feeling words. And that is important. They will use words more often to express their feelings. For example, in Rhonda's story, the conversation that he might have with her child may go like this. For example, on the way home from the dentist, Adam might say, "Oh, I really like my sake." And Rhonda can say, "Oh, yeah, it's really nice to have that sake, right? What did the dentist say would happen if you sucked it?" And this helps Adam buy into the idea of letting go of the pacifier instead of pushing and lecturing. And Rhonda can just keep acknowledging Adam's feelings and the difficulty. And it must be hard not to use something you really like to use. So this is an example of the kind of conversation you might have, the kind of reassuring words you might use. If possible, from the beginning, have a couple of favorite things around so that your child might get used with not only one, but a couple of interchangeable things when he needs. Of course, a pacifier is harder to replace because of the sucking habit, but it will help both the child and the parent when things get lost, for example, even if it is by mistake or not. And this reminds me that my younger daughter, for example, sort of had to give up the pacifier at some point. She was about three years old. Because we simply couldn't find it. It got lost somewhere, and she was particularly fond on a specific model. We had a couple of them, but at some point we couldn't find any. So, she really had to just understand it. And I remember that I used to give her lots of extra hugs and cuddles for a while. But then she slowly started to forget it and consider herself a big girl, and that she did not use one anymore. And I also had the help, let's say, from the kindergarten, where they were all the time talking to the children about not using the pacifier, because they are older now and the older children do not use pacifiers. And they were also seeing the older children basically there that were not having a pacifier. So yes, at some point she started to use a teddy bear to fall asleep with, and it was kind of a smooth transition. So for last, as a last idea, you can surround your child with children that do not use pacifiers anymore. Your child will likely pick up on how other children self-soothe and or receive comfort from people or other security objects. So as a summary, if you think that your child is having separation anxiety issues, pay attention to his feelings and actions. Also deal with your own by filling out your patient's deposit. Act using any of the strategies that we mentioned in this webinar. And most of all, be there for your child, as this is a time when he needs you most. I hope these techniques will help you to prevent or deal with the stress of separation anxiety in your family. And if you'd like more information on this matter or want to talk to us about it, please contact us using this contact. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.